Before we get into the sort of looking at the mission-minded youth, I have been involved in the work of the Lord in different ways. At home, serving the church, that is a mission. That is something that God has given us to do, working in the church. I personally served at Faith Mission. I served there for a little over a year. Rachel served in Belize for 3 years, teaching school there. And then after we were married, we went back to Belize and we were there for 3.5 years. So we were, you could say, on the mission field. But that's not going to be my focus this morning, because God does not call everyone to leave home. God has a different plan for different people. But we all have a mission. God gave us a mission, something that we are to be involved in. As we think of mission and as we think of living a life that is in service to what God wants us to do, I think it's good for us to recognize the two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of Satan. And as we go through this thing of looking at being mission-minded, being intentional, being busy in God's kingdom, I think it's good for us to look at these two and to recognize the difference between the two. If we look at the kingdom of this world, the leader of that kingdom, his job, and I alluded to that last evening, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants nothing good for you. He wants to take everything that God has intended for good and make it evil. That is his job. He wants to take away anything good and make it bad. His objective is to get you to fall, to get you in the same boat that he is in. His objective is to see you go down. The Bible says that he comes to us sometimes as an angel of light. He disguises himself and tries to trick us. That scripture is 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. He comes to us as an angel of light. The other kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is totally opposite. He came, he humbled himself, was a baby, lived a perfect life. He was pure, holy, as he was here on this earth. And then he served his people for 3.5 years in ministry and gave his life so that you and I could know God, so we could be reconciled to God. And I think it's important for us to realize or recognize that we are not in a battle against flesh and blood, but we are in a spiritual battle. We have a spiritual... When bad things happen, a lot of times, it is not... Let's say there's misunderstandings. There are things that come between us. That is a spiritual battle. And I think it does us good to recognize that as we are living our lives. So when we think of a mission and Jesus giving a mission, what is the first scripture that comes to your mind? Back in the corner. What's the first scripture that comes to your mind? The Great Commission. Yes, the Great Commission. Let's turn there. Matthew 28. This is the mission that God has given us. Now, I want to look a little bit at the word mission. What does the word mission mean? If you look it up in the dictionary, it is a special assignment given to a person or group. A special assignment given. Another one is a combat operation assigned to a person or group. And today in the world that we live in, businesses, I don't know how long it has been happening, but they have a mission statement. They're working for something. I'm going to read, I think it's our old mission statement. Was it updated, Clinton? I'm going to read our old mission statement because that's what I had. For where we work, our mission statement is provide resources to help people find their way to reach their full potential in servant leadership. So businesses have a mission. They have a goal that they're working for. And that is what we are doing in our walk, in our time that we're here on earth. Jesus gave you and me a mission. How are we going to complete that mission? Are we working and fulfilling that mission? Let's read Matthew 28. We're going to read 19 and 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of this age." As we look at verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What is the phrase in there that we normally look at the most? Which part of that phrase do we look at? Isn't it the emphasis normally on teach all nations? Is that sort of what you would have heard? Teach all nations? I think we need to take the go into consideration a little bit more. What does that word go mean in the original language? I'm just going to read what the Greek says. I looked it up in the Greek. It says to traverse, that is, travel, especially to remove or to go away. But here's one that stood out to me. One's way, or as you are going, as you are living your life, you are to teach. As we go, as we're going throughout our life, we are to be living in such a way that we're fulfilling the mission of Jesus. We're to be teaching people by the way that we live our life, by the way we talk, by the way we respond. As we are living, as we are walking through life, everything should be fulfilling that mission. Now, talking about this mission of as we're walking through life, people are watching you. They are looking at your life, studying you. Sometimes you are going to be the only people the only Bible they read. They know that there's something different about you, and they see good qualities in you, and they are following you. They are looking after you. I have been out of several things for quite a few years, so I need your help. What are some fast cars today? You young men probably know that. What are some fast cars? I don't want a sports car. I want a car that you would drive that you would think that is fast. What is a fast car? A GMC? It is a fast car, yeah. Any answers? Maybe you ladies have an answer. Or would you not drive a fast car?
BMW
M235. Okay. Another one. I need one more. Surely there's other fast cars. Yes. Well, I don't want a race car. Those are really fast. You're right. That's super fast. Infiniti Q50. Thank you. Now imagine with me, I'm going to stick in two names. We're going to say Peter and John. Imagine with me, as you're going through life, Peter and John, each one has one of these cars. A BMW, what was that again? M235 and the Infiniti Q50. One evening after volleyball, Peter and John are on their way home, and I don't know these cars at all, so I don't know how fast they are. But Peter and John, oh, they like their car. These cars are so fast. I mean, they brag it up how they can go 0 to 60 in however many seconds it is. And so they, you know, they sort of feel the pressure that they need to figure out which car is faster. They sort of have in their mind, my car is faster than that one. And they go both ways. And they're starting to, you know, maybe work up a little bit of nerve to maybe we should race sometime, talking about it. And they get, after volleyball, they at a red light, and Peter's sitting there, and all of a sudden, up comes John in his BMW. He revs it up, gets ready to go. And Peter drove up. John looks over at him, revving up, and John, man, I'm pretty sure I can beat him. I think I can do it. But all of a sudden, he hears a small, still voice. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. Oh, but it's fun. Your car's faster. You know it. It's faster. And the light turns green, and Peter takes off. John just takes off like normal. Now, John could have taken off and raced. But what would that have done if someone was watching? Someone is watching your life. As you are living your life, they are watching every step that you take. You are being an example to somebody. What if, a few days later, neighbor Mike comes up to John and says, John, I am proud of you. I saw you at the red light there, and I saw you had the opportunity to race, but you didn't. Now, that's a young man who is walking with God. Our neighbors are watching us more than you realize. They are looking and studying your life. How are you going? As you are living, as you are walking through life, do people see you carrying out the mission that God gave you? Or are they seeing someone who is just living life, just having fun, living however you want to? How are you living your life as you are going? What are the choices that you make? Now, I don't know about you, but I had 4 younger siblings at home. There was 11 of us total, but I was number 7, so I had 4 younger siblings. The choices that I made affected my younger siblings. Now I'm an uncle and I've got children. The choices that I'm making as I go, that's affecting them. The choices that you're making on a day-to-day basis are affecting the ones who are following after you. So looking at go therefore and make disciples of all nations, or as the King James would say it, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Does that go mean that we need, so in the Greek, that it would mean to depart, go, take a journey, walk. Does that mean that we need to leave our communities and go abroad? We went to Belize. Does it mean that you need to? Absolutely not. God has a different call for different people. Some of you might be called to, well, there's opportunity to work here at Penn Valley. There's opportunity at Faith Mission. Some of you might be called to do that, but a majority of us will be called to just serve in our communities. How do we serve in our communities? There are a lot of different ways that you and I can serve in our communities. You can serve by supporting your youth activities, by showing up, being an example to them. There are older people. How many older people do you know in your community? 5? 2? 3? I've never seen an older person turn down help. They love when young people come and are willing to help. Just recently, there was an older couple that needed a wheelchair ramp built. And we decided, you know what? They're older. They can't do it themselves. Why don't we go help them? We built the wheelchair ramp. There's many things if you just look for work. There's work to be done. Other ways that you can serve. Your church has summer Bible school. You can volunteer to be a teacher. I know some churches vote in offices for that summer Bible school, but you can volunteer to help, to support Bible school. You could be involved in a children's ministry, kids club. How many of you are over 18 today? How many of you are most of y'all 16 to, how many of y'all are 16 to 18? Could I see a raise of hands? Six. Okay, so there's quite a few of you. There is a ministry that y'all have. Do y'all remember when you were 15 years old, 14, 15? Maybe, how many of you went to high school? Can I see a raise of hands, high school? I never went to high school. So from the age of, by the time I was out of school until I was in the youth at 16, I didn't have much interaction with friends. And that's something that y'all could do as youth. Reach out to those that are not in the youth group yet and be a mentor to them. Walk beside them. You know, help them in their, just get to know them. Mentoring younger people. And then as we look at, some of you will be called to leave home and to serve. There are many places to serve. Abroad, if you are called, if God asks you to go, there are options that you have. Boys camps, Faith Mission, Hillcrest, I'm just naming a few. There are so many options for you to serve. If you look at a country, I know Israel does this, the country of Israel. It is mandatory for men and ladies to give 2 years of service to the military. Mandatory. I'm not saying that it is mandatory for you to serve 2 years abroad or give 2 years to community service, whatever. But I think it is good to give time in service to someone, serving someone else who cannot give you anything in return. Doesn't matter where you are called to serve. What are several things that we need to be a mission-minded youth? Someone who is useful in the kingdom of God. Let's turn to James chapter 4. The first one I want to look at is we need a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We need to know Him deeply. It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So the thing I want to focus here, we have to know God. If you want to be of service to people, if you want to be impactful in the kingdom of God, you have to know Him. You have to hear Him. You have to spend time with Him. Another thing that I want, the second thing is you have to know Scripture. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We have to know how to apply God's word to our life. We have to know what God's word is saying. So we need to know the Scripture. Now, as we look at serving wherever we're at, Paul was a good example of a man who served wherever he was at. Let's turn in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to look at several ways that Paul served. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So here, Paul, as he was in the area, it says on the Sabbath day, he was intentional, and he went down to the riverside, where they thought there was a place of prayer. So Paul here was being intentional with the decisions that he made. He made sure that he went to the place where people were gathering. And then another area that he was intentional, and it was only by God's grace that Paul could do this. And that's continuing in verse 16. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. And she followed Paul and us, crying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her, and it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And this is the part that Paul and Silas were intentional. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So even in prison, they were intentional about their mission, about doing the work that God had given them. They were singing. and praying. And it says the prisoners were listening to them. And the last one I want to look at that Paul was intentional about is he went to where the people were in large crowds. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Now, as we look at Paul, he was a tent maker by trade. And so I don't know if he was in the marketplace to sell his tents, but it says that he was there every day and he reasoned with the Jews and the devout persons. He was intentional. And I think we need to be that in the marketplace as we are going about our jobs. There's a lot of jobs. How many of you ladies work at bulk food stores? I know that's a pretty popular job. There are other jobs, like you men, working with, if you're a carpenter, you go around, you see people on a day-to-day basis. As you are doing that, are you leading the conversation to Jesus? Are you showing them the way of Jesus? It says there in the mission that God gave us, teach all nations. That means right where you're at. I guess that's my encouragement to you. As you go, as you live your life, be extremely mindful of the decisions that you make, because people are watching you. They are following and reading you. Don't let them down.